Good morning, fellow homesteaders. We are now on episode 17 of the Efficient Homestead Podcast. I'm amazed, doing great. Weather around here has been hot, but this morning we had some rain overnight. It's 74 degrees according to my truck. I am driving to work, of course, on this Friday morning. I hope you guys are having a great day, no matter what time you listen to this or where you're at. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about our garden, as always. I'll tell you what the chickens have been up to and the ducks. I also had a reader question by email this week. Kind of gave me a reason to pause and think about some of the things we've been doing on the homestead. Maybe some things I'd do different. Like I say, we've been talking about moving. Probably not going to happen anytime soon, but this gave me some reasons to think about some things. And we'll talk about that too. Coming up right after this message from our sponsor. All right, well, welcome back. Like I said, I'm driving, so again, if I sound like I'm not paying attention to you guys, it's because I'm trying to pay attention to the road. I'll try to do my best here. This road is a little bit bumpy. It's a highway, but it's got a little bit of that concrete section washboard kind of thing to it, so it kind of bounces me around a little bit. My new tires, though, man, they're performing great. I wish this was a sponsored segment, but it's not. I'm just really happy with my tires. So a little bit about our garden. Man, the hot weather has really been hard on it. We've been trying to get out there and water. We got about an inch of rain between yesterday and overnight. We're getting a little bit of rain right now. Just started sprinkling. So between having the water and this little sporadic rain, we've been trying to keep it wet. But it's been a struggle. Got out there, I guess it was Sunday, and weeded the Brussels sprouts. That patch, that raised bed, had been the home to the broccoli and the cauliflower. Like I said, we got some broccoli cuttings, but cauliflower never made. Got all that pulled out, and the weeds took over. So all we've got left is Brussels sprouts. And they had little pencil eraser size Brussels sprouts all up the stalk. This is our second time ever trying to grow Brussels sprouts. The first time we got to about this point in the year and they just weren't making anything, so we pulled them. Well, this year we decided we'd leave them and just see what happens. And lo and behold, they started getting bigger. Right now they're about the size of the end of my pinky, maybe. And so I got in there and pulled all the weeds out of that bed, give them a little bit better chance. And I noticed that the leaves off the Brussels sprout plant, the little Brussels sprouts form where each one of the leaves attached to the stalk. But all the leaves had come loose from the stalk. And I got talking in the Facebook group, Homestead Front Porch Facebook group, about it. And people were telling me that I'm supposed to pull those leaves off, you know, probably before they actually come off on their own. I didn't know any better, so I just kind of let it go. Evidently, I'm supposed to get in there at some point now and pull off the top 1 inch or so of the plant. And what I'm assuming is that's going to try to make it force all of its nutrients, its growing power, into those Brussels sprouts and get them to go. And I've also heard that you're supposed to wait until the first freeze, or first frost anyway, before you harvest those Brussels sprouts. So I'm excited to see what happens here. We've got 4 plants growing. In all honesty, it's probably, you know, $5 or $6 worth of Brussels sprouts if I was to go buy them at the store. It's not going to last a whole long time. We do eat a lot of Brussels sprouts. But just, I don't know, having that confidence to know that I can grow them. Like I said, this whole cold crop thing was an experiment brought on by going to the Riddle Plant Farm and attended one of their free classes. Again, a plug for Riddle Plant Farm. That's unpaid, but hey, I do like those people, so glad to do it. So we did that in early March. We got some free plants, and then we bought some more. That's how we got started on this cold crop deal, in case you missed it. But as far as the rest of the garden goes, we've got a couple more cantaloupes. Oh man, we had one that was big as a football. That dude was delicious. We just finished eating it, I guess, last night, night before last. And it was phenomenal. Now, we got another one on the vine. Looks like it's going to be just as good. Hopefully nothing gets it. Do have the garden fenced off now. So last year we had cantaloupes and watermelons, and the raccoons got in there and cleaned us out. Even though we just got a 4-foot fence around there this time, and I know they could climb it. I think it's just, it's flimsy enough, because we put it up real temporary. It's flimsy enough that I don't think they want to climb it. So I think it's helping keep some of the critters out. And hopefully we can enjoy all of our cantaloupes and they don't get to have any. The squash, I think the squash are about done. We had one more yellow squash and haven't had a zucchini in a while. One of the plants is just completely gone. Of course, they're infested with squash bugs, even with the 7 dust and the 7 spray and diatomaceous earth and neem oil and the BT, everything we've put on those plants. This squash bug heaven. I'm starting to think that I need to relocate my squash completely. I do rotate around that garden, but it's just a 20-foot by 20-foot square in the big part of the garden there. So, and I'm also thinking about going to just all raised beds and not even doing a in-the-ground garden anymore. We've had so much struggle with the in-ground garden between weeds, and we had so much rain this spring, everything just stayed too wet. And then now that it's starting to dry out, I don't know, it just, the raised beds seem to perform a lot better. It's easier to control the climate for them. The weeds and everything is easier to control. So raised beds are definitely the key for us and being able to grow a good crop of anything. That being said, going on around the cucumbers. Cucumbers are looking like they're just about toast. We grew them up on that big trellis. They were looking really good until this hot weather hit. And now they're just, man, they're just dying off left and right. Which is okay, because like I've said, the cucumbers aren't really the kind of cucumbers that we wanted. We really wanted some pickling cucumbers. And these were ended up being big, fat, around just like the size of my forearm kind of thing. Or my wrist anyway. So weren't really what we wanted, so we're just probably going to let those go, pull them out of there, and throw them on the burn pile. Next to those, we had two poor little pepper plants that made it out of, I don't know, 8 that we planted, I think. And they're trying. I got one poblano pepper that's about 2 inches long, and a couple of little bitty jalapenos, tame jalapenos. But the pepper crop is kind of a bust this year. On around next to that is we get into the raised beds and the tomatoes. Tomatoes are still doing okay. Still getting a few Romas and a bunch of cherry tomatoes. A little early girl, she puts on a tomato every now and then. Bless her heart, she tries. But the tomato crop isn't really what we'd hoped for. We'd hoped to can a bunch more. We've got 3 pints, I think. Even though we're getting probably enough Romas that we could can, between giving them away and the ones that we're eating, we're just not really having enough to can. So haven't really had a lot of time anyway. Next raised bed over is where we have the onions, or had the onions. and the carrots, and we harvested all that. And there's actually a couple of volunteer tomato plants in there, cherry tomatoes, that have tomatoes on them as well. We're just kind of letting those go, but we've got everything else out of that bed. And then next to that, back around to where the Brussels sprouts are at. So that gets us through the garden tour. The fruit trees still looking good. They're pretty well established enough now that the little bit of dry weather doesn't hurt them. Don't have any pest problems, you know, other than the deer that ate the apples off the apple tree. Let's see if I can take care of that pest problem this fall, I hope. And that gets us through the garden update. We'll talk a little bit about the chickens and the ducks just after a second here. So the chickens, we're still letting them out in the evenings when I get home and on the weekends. I've got one, she's a New Jersey red. We call her a little brown hen or a little red hen, just depending on what we're feeling about her at that point. And she does not like to come home on time. She's kind of like a teenager. You know, you tell her curfew is 7:30 and she'll push it till 9:30 or 10 o'clock. But found her the other night. She wasn't in the coop when I went out there to close them up. And she was laying just, I don't know, 20 yards from the coop. Just had her little, not really a nest, but she was kind of tucked down in some weeds there. And she was just sitting there like she didn't want to go in. So I kind of herded her, got around behind her and said, "Here, let's go to bed." And she took off to the coop. And of course, once she got in there, all three roosters jumped on her and had to have their way with her. So thinking maybe that's why she is not wanting to go into the coop. And I probably need to do something with at least one, if not two, of the aggressive roosters and have a chicken in a crock pot. And actually, one of them's name is Crock Pot, because that's where he's going anyway. But I just keep putting it off because I'm soft. But I don't know. I'm going to have to do it. I either got to do that or try to find somebody to take him. But we'll see what the weekend holds. We'll either have chicken in the freezer in the crock pot, or I'll be telling you about having too many roosters next week. In the next segment, we'll talk about the reader question that we had and kind of some of the things I've been thinking about. So I got a reader question by email, and they wanted to know where to start. They've never done any kind of gardening or any kind of homesteading. Right now they live in an apartment in a desert environment, but they're looking to move. And so the question was, where do we start? We're in this apartment, desert environment. Tried to grow some things on a patio and had no luck. Well, I got to thinking, I can imagine trying to grow anything in a desert environment. It'd be kind of like Oklahoma in August. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hot and dry. And no matter how much you water the plant, seems like with the heat and the low humidity, it's just going to suck all the moisture out of the plant. And it's not going to let it do its thing, even if you try to keep it watered. You're probably going to waterlog the roots, trying to keep it wet. Dadgum, the road has got some high water on it. So anyway, let me get back over in this other lane. I'll do better. So it just made me think about indoor gardening and trying to grow, you know, some tomatoes or some lettuce or something like that. I think it'd be the best thing. I provided some resources, some books and stuff that I recommend. And I hope that works out for y'all. I know that you're a listener, so shout out to you. Hope y'all are doing good, and let me know how it goes. Some of the other things that I got thinking about, though, was, you know, living here in Oklahoma, is that really such a bad thing? I know we've been talking about moving. I've lived here all my life, so the thought of moving to another state, like Colorado or Montana or something like that, has always been appealing. But really, as far as a lot of the things that you read about other states and not allowing you to have vegetable gardens in your yard, and not allowing you to have chickens, that kind of thing, Oklahoma is really not that bad. It's pretty friendly as far as all the regulations for farms and those kinds of things, homesteading, just because it is an agricultural state. We do have a lot of farms around, lots of farmers markets. Of course, if you're trying to grow any kind of market garden, that leads to a lot of competition as well. So some pluses, minuses there. Our climate really isn't too bad, other than we get really hot summers and really cold winters. You know, we can easily have, over the course of the year, have 115, 120 degree temperature swing. I've seen it be 115 in the summer and down to minus 6 or 8, probably the coldest I've ever seen it. So that is a big temperature swing for a year. We do heat up pretty quick in the summer, so that makes it hard to grow any of those cool season crops. We talk about like the cold crops and lettuce, things like that. And some of that stuff would probably need to come indoors if you were really trying to grow stuff to feed your family year round. But, you know, it could be worse. Really, we could be in Arizona, where we probably really wouldn't be able to grow anything outside. As far as that goes, Oklahoma's not too bad. So I have rambled on and rambled on, and probably need to close this thing out. That's all we got for this week. I do appreciate you guys listening. Keep the reader questions coming, or the listener questions coming. If you guys read the blog that makes you reader questions, you can check that out at theefficienthomestead.com. I'm trying to post some more articles on there as I can, between work and life and all that. You can always check us out on the Facebook page at facebook.com/theefficienthomestead. And we do have a YouTube channel. Haven't got anything posted on it recently, but I hope to be doing some more videos, probably be hunting related, shooting my bow, things like that, here coming up as we get ready for the hunting season. And as always, you can shoot me an email at theefficienthomestead@gmail.com. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope you guys have a great day and a great week. And I'll talk to you soon. And remember, if you're not following your dream, you're helping somebody else follow theirs.